Hello? Hello? Okay, it works. Okay. So let's start this practice session. I'm going to go over the slides that Patrick did not have time to go through during the class on modular exponentiation. Bear with me through these slides. It looks very hard in the slides. It is a lot easier. We'll go through some examples, and you'll see that the notation is much harder than the actual modular exponentiation. So exponentiation, we know that m to the power of e equals to m times m, e times. But if e is large, this could be really hard. In your exam, if you have to do modular exponentiation, you only have a normal calculator, the exam-approved calculator. So you can't do something to the power of a large number on a regular calculator. The first method we're going to go through, we take E and represent it as a binary sequence. Already you can see that the notation here is getting a bit scary. And when we bring this up, it looks even worse. But it's a lot easier than that. So we're going to go through through an example. I'm going to see what this notation actually means. A few notes here. Yeah, you can go over these. These are basic mathematic rules. We can go through the example. So you have 3 to the power of 12 modulus 17. With this first method, what we start by doing is taking the exponent, that is 12, in a 10-digit system, and we take it over to binary. So 1, 1, 0, 0. The 1 here represents an 8, a 4, a 2, and a 1. So then we can take 3 to the power of 1, 3 to the power of 2, 3 to the power of 3. Can you all see the blackboard? No. I'll move it over here. So 3 to the power of 1, 3 to the power of 2, 3 to the power of 4, and 3 to the power of 8. The same as we have here. Then I like to take look at the ones in our binary sequence and mark those. So all the calculations now will be done modulus 17, and we can just start by 3 to the power of 1, well that's 3, and modulus 17, it's still 3. 3 to the power of 2 is 9, still less than 17, so modulus 17. 3 to the power of 4, now that's the same as 3 to the power of 2 to the power of 2. So then we can take the 9 and say that's 9 to the power of 2 modulus 17. That's 81 modulus 17, right? Yeah. And modulus 17, that's 13. So then 3 to the power of 8, that's 3 to the power of 4 to the power of 2. So now we can reuse our answer here. 3 to the power of 4, 13. You can take 13 to the power of 2, modulus 17, 16. And now we can go back to our bit pattern. So I marked these two as they are ones in this binary sequence. So it's from bottom, you will have 1100. So these two are the ones we're going to care about. So now we can take 13 times 16, these two answers marked by the x's. That modulus 17 that's 208, and modulus 17 it's 4. So this way we have taken this is not a very large number, but a large exponent modulus something, and we brought it down to small simple mathematical problems that we can do on our calculator. So this is one method you can do modular exponentiation. It's another example. We can go through that as well. Three to the power of 23 modulus 29. 23 in the 10-digit system. +16 +4 +2 +1. Then we do the same. 3 to the power 1, 3 to the power 2, not 4, 4, 8, and now also 16, because we have 5 digits in our binary sequence. And we have a 1, a 1, a 1, a 0, and a 1. So these four is the numbers we're going to care about later. Okay, 3 to the power of 1, still 3, modulus 29, doesn't make a difference. 3 to the power of 2, 9, modulus 29, no difference. 3 to the power of 4 is 3 to the power of 2, to the power of 2. Which is 9 to the power of 2, modulus 29, it's 81, modulus 29, and that's 23. 3 to the power of 8, 3 to the power of 4, wait, 3 to the power of 4, to the power of 2, take our 23 to the power of 2, modulus 29, which is 529, and then modulus 29.7, right?
Yeah.
3 to the power of 16, 3 to the power of 8, to the power of 2. Can you see that? Yes, barely. That's 7 to the power of 2, mod 29 is 20.
Okay, so we made done our calculations here. Now we need the 3 times the 9 times 23. We skip the 7 because it's a 0, and then times 20, and now we can take that modulus 29.
If we get a lot of numbers here, we can do 3 times 9 modulus 29, and then take that answer times 23 modulus 29 again, and that answer times 20 modulus 29 again. So we can bring these calculations down further as well. So you can see here, you take 3 to the power of 16, 3 to the power of 4, 2, and 1. Together, they're 12,420 modulus 29, and we're at 8. So that's our final answer. Any questions on that method?
It's all clear? It's good.
We also have an alternative method. I think that's more I think this method is the first method is better, but you can choose which one you like best.
So the alternative method, e to m to the power of e. If e is even, we split it up. We say if it's to the power of 10, we can say that it's to the power of 5 and then to the power of 2.
So we can split it up. If it's odd,
we can take one m out of the problem, and then we can split it like we did if it's even. And you repeat that procedure until you end up at exponent 1, or
as we see here, to the power of 2.
So if we have the same example, 3 to the power of 23, now we have an odd exponent. We can say that that's equal to 3 times
to the power of 22. Now we have an even number, so we can say that that's 3 times 3 to the power of 11 to the power of 2. We can keep doing this. Now we have an odd exponent again. We can take 3 times 3 times 3 to the 10th to the power of 2. Now we have an even exponent. We can take 3 to the power of 3, 3 to the power of 5, to the power of 2, to the power of 2. So we keep breaking it down. Am I on the right track here?
5, 2, 2, yeah.
That's, now we have an odd exponent, 3, 3, 3 times 3 to the 4th.
To the second again.
And a final time. Put it here. 3 to the power of 3. 3 times 3 to the power of 2. 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 So now we've broken this down so that all our exponents are either 1 or 2.
And yeah, all calculations are modulus 29.
Yeah. So then we can start from the center and just take one element of the time. So we take the 3 to the power of 2 is a 9. So now we have 3, 3, 3, 9 to the power of 2, to the power of 2, to the power of 2. Then we take next. 9 to the power of 2 is 81, modulus 23 is 23. And then the next element, 23 to the power of 2, modulus 23,
no, modulus 29
is 11.
I'll bring it up. Did I lose a power of 2 here somewhere? Oh.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How did you change the value of 9 by 23? I'm sorry, I told you this.
how we change from 9 to 23. So you take that exponent, so you take 3 to the power of 2, and then you swap that with a 9.
Yeah. And then how did we get 23?
So 23 is 9 to the power of 2, 81, modulus 29. Everything is modulus 29. Yes, it's a modular exponentiation. So you have something to the power of something, modulus something. I messed up my parentheses. Okay, so 3 times 23 modulus 29 is 11. So now we have 11 to the power of 2 to the power of 2. So 11 to the power of 2 modulo 29 is 5. So now we have 3 times 3 times 5 to the power of 2. Three times 5 is 15. So we have 3 times 15 to the power of 2. Fifteen squared modulo 29 is 22. 3 times 22. 3 times 22 modulo 29 is 8. The same result as we got using the other method. So these are two different methods you can use for a modular exponentiation and get numbers that you can handle on a pocket calculator. Any questions to the second method? No? Good. So that was that.
So this is another method for doing the exact things, same thing that Jörgen was doing earlier. But this is a more efficient way in terms of handling small numbers with the computer. So this is basically a loop. We define constants and base values. Yeah. So this splits the expressions up in small pieces. So this is, you could do that this by hand, but it quickly becomes impractical in larger examples. But if we run this now, we can see how it works. So this gives us. Can everyone see the printout? Fine. Is it big enough? Yeah. So we start our for loop here, and we define a expression that goes from actually what we want to find out. I've forgotten. We want to find out what 4 to the power of 13 modulus 497 is. So we start a loop that goes from 1 to our power, which is in this case 13, and then we modulo that with 497. So the fastest approach is, of course, just to do that. And we could because these are rather large, no small numbers. But as you can see, this is starting out by calculating the first values, and we calculate this part of the equation first, and then we model that with 497, and we get 4. So now we go up around again and start again, and we get. Is there something wrong with the printout? Because it should look something like this. As you can see, we move what we had as a result down into the next loop. So we put our new value here, and then we calculate the same over and over again for the duration of the loop. So you can see we get 16. So 16 is moved into the to be calculated with our base, which is 4, and then we get 64, and then we move that into the fourth row there, and we do the same thing. So just move two variables around all the time until we have completed the loop, which is the 13th time, because it's power to the 13th power. And this is something that you can use to when you're getting some calculations tasks later. You can use this program. I will release it, and you can use it to check your math, and you can see. Hopefully, you can see each step that how we get the results that we get, and where you might have gone off a tangent or something like that. So this is a memory efficient way of doing it, because we are just storing small numbers of small numbers in our variables, and we don't take large amount of memory to do this. So that was the third way of doing modular exponentiation, which you can use either one if you want. Everything is fine, just in way to calculate this. So the next thing I was planning to show you was, you have all had RSA today, right? The algorithm. So now I'm going to rely on some activity from you guys. I know that scares all of the students, because it scares me. what I was planning was just to go through the basic steps of the RSA algorithm. So what I would like to know now is, how do we calculate the n value of an RSA? Which two? P and Q. Yeah. And to calculate the phi, what do we do?
We multiply minus 1.
Yeah. And now what do we do? Basically, we choose a coprime value of phi, so that what we get is a, for example, in this example, we have a random value within which is the upper bounds of phi, which should be coprime with the phi. No, yeah, that's right, yeah. And then we calculate. How do we calculate the d? There should be a d value here. How do you calculate that? Any takers? Okay, what we do is that we first find out if I have to get my books so I can explain it better. So d is calculated as d times e modulo phi of n. So how do you do that, you may ask? We do a greatest common divisor and find that if the d value for e should be, I haven't printed it. Where is it? Yeah, of course. Yeah, the d value is in this case 23. And we get that from the greatest common denominator of our proposed value, which is our secret key, and the totem phi, which is the phi value that we calculated earlier, which you can read about up there. I will also release this script so you can play around with some numbers just to calculate some RSA. And as you can see, we can look at this one. What happens? Why do we have to do a modular modulo operation here on line 13? Does anyone know? No. Okay. We modulate d here because d could be minus. And if d is minus, we have to make it positive. So that's what we're doing there. So now I can show you the algorithm in from creating the keys to a full run. So we go through what we just did, and we find from these operations that our public keys are E and N, and our private keys are D and N. The N is of course constant, we have made it earlier, but D is our private key. And the public E is something that we have. Whoa, that's wrong. Something that we have predetermined, and then we want to send the message. And when we are sending a message, we require that that our M is higher than our N. That means that the message needs to be lower than the private key. And then we go through what we have just been showing you in modular exponentiation to calculate our message. So we, in this case, we see that we want to send 88, and then we get the result of 11 after modular exponentiation. So when this is, whoa, that's not good. Just a sec. Should be okay. This is what Eve sees in our transaction. She only sees the encrypted 11 and the public key pair that is sent over the wire. So she doesn't see what we are sending, which is good, which is the point of cryptography. But when I want to decrypt that, I get the message 11, and I want to decrypt that. So how do we do that? We do it with the same type of operations that we have done before in the encryption phase, which is just priming the numbers, and then you can see that. Originally, we received 11, but when we decrypted the message was 88. That's the brief walkthrough of RSA. So if you now can calculate you can do some brief walkthroughs. I have an assistant. It's right for me. So this is an example. We start by defining P and Q. Where P is 37. And Q is 43. So yeah. The N becomes what? Should become 37 times 43, which is 1591. Then you can calculate if you can follow if you want. The phi of n is then 36 times 42, which is 1512. Then we pick a E. In this case, we pick 11. And then we calculate the greatest common divisor, and we find that we find a value that correlates with, so we get GCD of 1. And that's in this case 11 of phi and E and phi of n. I think that's 11.
Let's go.
And then We are done, aren't we? No, we're not. We are going to calculate the D. And then we start by saying 1 equals 11, because we have the greatest common divisor here. 1 equals 11 minus... times 5, and then we we move that down and we get 15, 12 minus is
reverse. 15, 12.
And that's 11 minus 2 times.
Yeah, exactly. If you write all those steps down as the Euclidean algorithm and then do the extended Euclidean algorithm going upward.
We have all the segments, remember what's going on?
There are several exercises we have here. One is, of course, when you have E to find D, that's the one you're working on. The other exercise is when you have a message M, what will be the ciphertext? And I can also say if, for example, the ciphertext is, let's say, 23, what is the original message for that? So if you're done with calculating D, then just go on with these exercises.